This is Jochen Graf.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
You are listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Ball's gonna bounce down, it's free in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
This is Jochen Graf.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
You are listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Ball's gonna bounce down, it's free in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, and thank you for joining us. You are listening to the Unused Substitutes, your Rowdies Talk Radio, the Green and Gold Gospel. We are live on Radio St. Pete. We are part of the Beautiful Game Network. We are presented by Roughneck Scars. And Steven, it's been a couple weeks, but we are still very on brand because we are not currently live streaming on Twitch like we had planned.
Yep, as always. The Technical Issues FC podcast lives up to the name. Apparently, we had everything. Well, we thought we had.
Let's not blame this on technical problems yet. It's more lack of technical incompetence. Because I'm sure everything works right if it's configured the right way. And I thought I had the stuff set up, and it turned out that I very much did not.
I will not blame you for this one because this was a leap forward. We were going to try and do something tonight, but this is what the off season's for, right? So we were going to try something because obviously, for those that don't know, you and Dan back in the day would actually broadcast and record the actual video show portion of, I mean, it's the same thing. It was the broadcast, yeah. But you guys did it on video back in the day.
Back when Google Meet would still connect directly to YouTube and you could just broadcast that way. This is just a slightly different setup and not working the way I thought it was going to. Maybe we should actually test these things out in advance.
I mean, if it wasn't for the fact that, like, you know, people are busy and it's hard to sometimes arrange things like that, you know?
Well, there's that. I say that thinking ahead to tomorrow where I get to spend like 2 hours sitting in my car in the parking lot of a church in Northern Manatee County where my daughter has volleyball practice, and I have like nothing to do.
And I also say that
and no way to do anything.
I also say that in the context of the fact that my job, I found out yesterday afternoon, will be transitioning to work from home indefinitely. So,
so you will have time.
I mean,
or at least
I will be
you'll be
home.
Adjacent to time.
Yeah, I will be at home. I don't know if that necessarily, I'm not going to be able to just kind of like, here, let me just walk away from the work computers for a hot minute here and work on the podcast things for, you know. Yeah, I don't think that's going to work.
I won't tell if you don't.
I mean, I appreciate that. well, if you're listening tonight, we have news for you. There are things to discuss since the last time you heard our voices. What was almost 3 weeks ago now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, we took the last 2 weeks off because of Thanksgiving and because of nothing to talk about. And it was starting to look like there was not going to be much to talk about tonight either. And then kind of the last yesterday, today, stuff has happened. So that's good. There's stuff to talk about at least.
Yes. Yes, there is. But before we jump into all of that, I would like, of course, to thank and introduce our executive producer tonight. The honorary Patreon executive producer is Mike Pendleton. We do appreciate your support as always. And I know we do these a couple times a year, obviously, with some of our members. Obviously, the list is not the longest, but that's okay. We love all of you guys, so we appreciate the support you guys give us. But
not super long, but sort of distinguished. By the way, this is only the second most prestigious internet shout-out Pendleton's getting today. So you know his you know his videos with the Baker Street sax solo over the different goals. So today is the 2 year anniversary of Divock Origi winning the Merseyside Derby for Liverpool over Everton with a stoppage time header following a goalkeeping howler on behalf of Everton, where he Everton's keeper was it Virgil van Dijk takes a like a long looping shot. The keeper kind of pushes it up onto the crossbar and it bounces, hits the crossbar again, and then just kind of falls directly in front of the goal. As it's falling, Origi just sneaks up and taps it in with his head. That was one of Mike's Baker Street videos. And there's a kind of long-running Liverpool fan podcast called The Red Men TV, this podcast video show. They do all, they cover the women's team, they cover the U teams, everything. They retweeted his video at like 7 o'clock this morning because I saw it just as I was getting out of bed to get ready for work. And Mike's like, that's my video.
Incredible, isn't it?
I saw someone else the other day retweeted his Rowdy's Raptors logo.
Oh, yeah.
And it started spreading across Canada and getting lots of attention and love. So, you know, I guess maybe even we're the third best internet shout-out he's gotten this week.
Yeah. To be Mike Pendleton. Gotta love it.
The Emperor.
Yes, exactly.
Hopefully by next season we can he'll be back in his box and we'll all be back at Al Lang Stadium. Things may not seem great right now, but apparently there is a bright future on the horizon for whoever. We'll get there. We'll get there. Maybe. Everything's a maybe. All right. But yeah, we have news. Nice, very nice news, I thought. Very nice.
Very encouraging. Yes.
We got player news. We have almost enough to play a match, not without having any substitutes. And honestly, again, fair warning that we're totally biased. I'd run these 9 out there for most of our matches and be okay with that. I think we got a pretty good shot. There's some clean sheets in this team even without a goalkeeper. Let me just put it that way.
Yes.
All right, there are. Steven, tell us about the news.
All right. So the Rowdies did announce that we now officially have. Now, mind you, keeping in mind that this is not the only signings that we know of going into 2021. But to start the announcement cycle, because they always do tend to wait till December to get that news really rolling. Team captain Sebastian Gonzatti, he is confirmed he will be back for 2021. The Fox in the Box. The shortest player with the longest hair, Juan Tejada, he is back for 2021. Midfielders Jan Ekra, Lewis Hilton, Sebastian Delgaard, and Jordan Doherty. Solid, solid core of midfielders. Obviously, all four of them had a lot of minutes, a lot of games played in our shortened season this year. And the big thing. In my mind, this is the biggest. This is the biggest part of this. Jordan Scarlett, Forrest Lasso, and Aaron Guillen, the back three of one of the best defenses in the league, all three are confirmed to come back for 2021. That is such amazing and incredible news. I could not be happier to start off the roster announcements with that nine group of players. But my highlight right now is the back three.
Like, it to me, it was big enough at first that we brought the entire back line, the starting back line back from last year. Regardless of who those players were, the fact that we're not rebuilding the back line for like the third time in three years is huge. But then you look at who the players are. You've got the reigning USL Defensive Player of the Year, Forrest Lasso. You've got Jordan Scarlett. You've got Aaron Guillen. Like, those guys were so good last year. Like, you know, we've seen some teams kind of post, oh, we've signed this guy, or we signed this guy, or we brought this guy back. And it's like, cool. When are we going to get some news? Like, we didn't just get news. Like, this is a statement. This is like a statement of intent for the upcoming season. We're bringing back the captain, one of the most exciting young players in the league, a newly capped Panamanian international, senior international, the defensive player of the year, the entire back line in my opinion, the best defensive unit in the league, and some other young talent as well, and veteran talent as well, too. That does leave, however, quite a few situations unknown. And then, like you said, you know, not like these are the only signings. And look, at this point last year, in last offseason, we knew that there had been a signing from another team yet that hadn't been announced. Turns out it was Lewis Hilton coming over from St. Louis. Like, and we knew that because I happened to bump into Neil at a postseason event and chatted with him. And he's like, oh, yeah, we've got a signing done already. We'll be coming out soon. So there could be new names coming in, and we just don't know about it yet. Like, that, I'm kind of excited about that possibility. But also, let's take a look who from last year's squad is currently on the Call Me Maybe list.
So, as of right now, of course, obviously the goalkeepers are currently unknown as far as the officially. So, of course, Lauro, Robinson, and McGrain. As far as other defenders that we had, Davey and Demboya are the other two, obviously, that we're still waiting to hear from. The midfield and, of course, forward positions kind of get mixed a little bit because some of these players rotated, but let's just run through the names. Adoro, Steinberger, Lakowecki, Fernandez, which is a big one, obviously,
that's
right now.
One.
That's probably the biggest on the list at the moment. Malik Johnson, Adam Najem, Mendoza, Murphy, and then, of course, M. Kasana. So, we don't know how many of those are actually already assigned for 2021. From what we understand, there are more than one name of that group that are already under contract for next season. They just haven't announced it yet. So, which makes sense. They're trying to phase them on, hype, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we know for a fact that there are other players that are coming back. This is not the end. I think most fans, there are probably two players that I would say are really vitally important to the club that you saw 2020 success build off of. Obviously, one of those is goalkeeper Evan Lauro. I think without question, that's what a lot of fans would probably keep an eye on to see if we are able to retain his services for 2021. But then, of course, as mentioned earlier, Leo Fernandez.
Let me hop here in a second, because I had something I was going to throw at you, and I think you're kind of heading in that direction. So there's 14 okay. names on this unsigned but maybe list. Mm-hmm. Let's just pretend 15 for math's sake.
Okay.
Five names, one third. Tell me who are the top five from this list that you want to see come back. Not who you think is going to be back, but who do you want to see back? Your top five out of this list.
Okay. And keep in mind for the audience, this is Johnny on the spot here, because obviously we don't prep in that way.
Because I just did communicating thing with that with you.
Because this is what you do, and I love you for it, but I also hate you for it. So let's take a look here. So Evan Lauro would certainly be one pick that I would say we need back. Leo Fernandez, easily be a number two. I would say we need him. I would say Adam Najum would be a player that I would absolutely want back for next year. Continuing on this trend off the top of my head here, I would be good with Murphy coming back. And I would say Aduro coming back.
Ooh.
Those would be my five.
You left out a big one to me.
I intentionally left out a big one because I know it stirs controversy, because I'm a content whore and this is what we do. But no, that's my five. If I were to pick five names on the list of players not announced, those would be the five that I would want to go after the hardest as a GM.
All right. So I'll throw my five out here with the caveat that I'd be happy to see every single one of these guys come back.
Yes, of course. No,
probably not.
Right?
Probably not feasible. Some guys are going to want to move for their own reasons. Some guys, the team's going to want to move on from for their reasons. Yeah, if you can get Evan Lauro back, then you get Evan Lauro back. That's not even a question to me. Definitely. And these aren't any particular order in my top five. These are just the top five. Yes, Evan Lauro. Yes, Leo Fernandez. I got to believe he wants to come back. He wants to be here. If he can keep playing with Seba, if he can keep even stay here in the Bay Area, I got to believe he wants to get that done too. I'm going to go ahead and throw in the one you left out. You got to have Malik Johnson. You got to have Malik Johnson back, in my opinion. You've got to. As one of my top five... I mean, there's no one else in this roster that puts defenders on skates.
I mean, do we though?
Yeah. Yeah, you absolutely do. Not even a question. Malik would be in my top five. Odoro definitely in my top five. Don't know if it's, he's made noises in the past about wanting to go overseas, maybe try and get a championship level team in England. So who knows? That could be one that waits and to see if something else, doesn't come up, another opportunity doesn't make itself available. So I've got Lauro, I've got Fernandez, I've got Malik, and I've got Oduro. There's too many people to pick for a fifth one. Like,
do it.
All right, I'm going to go, since you intentionally left one out to be controversial, I'm going to pull in a left field for my fifth. I want to see Alex Davey come back. Got his first cap in the Eastern Conference Championship game, coming off the bench to play in a team in a system he'd never really played in actual competition before. In one of the more high-pressure situations you can get, trying to defend a lead in the Eastern Conference Championship, and he did not do anything to seem like he didn't fit in or that he was out of place. yeah, I would love to have Lucky back. I'd love to have Murphy back as well, too. Steinberg, like, but my top five, I'm going to bring in a little talent, maybe a little youth for the future here with Alex Davey. But, you know, if we can bring the rest of everybody back, that's fine, too. And if there's upgrades to be made, then that's part of the business. Let's see that happen as well. Don't know about any heads up on when more news start to trickle out, but I do like, rather than getting like one player here or there, it was like, here's nine. Not only nine, but like maybe the nine strongest you could pick off of that team coming back from last year. Like, you know, Neil had kind of posted that open letter to the fans and backs it up, man. Like, this isn't like, hey, we brought in this guy who's bounced around for three teams in the last 2 years in the league. It was like, here's nine of our regular starters from last year.
Yeah.
Including some of the most recognized names in the conference and in the league. Like, that's a strong, strong statement to make, in my opinion.
No, it's definitely a strong statement. And I think that's the point. What's interesting is, of course, like, this was ended up being a question of sorts that I asked privately, you know, just amongst some friends, where it was, I wonder, with the pandemic, with travel restrictions and all that kind of stuff, and with the delayed start of the season, and with the possibility of facing another shortened season as a result of that delay, how that affects the player market in lower division American soccer. So, for instance, you know, some of these international guys that have situations of contracts expiring, and are they allowed to stay, and how that works out with the pandemic situation. You know, what's our ability of recruiting players from overseas right now with that kind of situation happening? You know, how about the fact that players that are here right now, up and comers, some of the guys that we just talked about, what is their prospects for getting overseas to potentially leave the U.S., especially in the context if there's a shortened USL season? If, and obviously we're already looking at a delayed start compared to years previous, why would you wait for that start in May if you could go overseas during the winter transfer period, hypothetically, as a free signing, and sign with somebody overseas in a lower divisions role and be playing in January? You know, like, this, there's a lot of really strange and interesting caveats to the free agent market that the current situation puts us in. And I don't know if this encourages, because I mean, the other thing to consider too is how many players are going to be able to move around even in the U.S. for free agency with everything going on. I mean, obviously right now there's more flexibility compared to, you know, obviously right now you're good, but like, how many times have we seen players come into camp late and get signed, you know, days or a week before a season starts? If the pandemic is still going full strong in May, which of course, let's all hope and pray that it's not by that point. But, you know, if it's April, May, pandemic is still raging, you can't just invite a guy to camp 2 weeks before the season starts as like an emergency signing type of, oh, hey, look, we have an opportunity to get somebody. Like, that doesn't really work in 2021. You know, that last minute invitation will have to go out like a month and a half or 2 months in advance. Like, that's going to end up being the modified deadline. And that kind of changes how some of these preseason camps might feel for next season. It's going to be interesting to see how this kind of looks in the free agent market as a result.
You know, this could be a thing where, and it's been kind of brought up in the past, that maybe Rays ownership is maybe the source of some unknown uncertainty, especially involving, you know, what's going on with the team and their attempts to play in other markets where it feels like it does down here all year long. But this might be a situation where the Rays ownership is actually an attractive thing, because the access to their healthcare and training and testing and facilities and everything else that they've got could be something that, you know, in the whole country's a hotspot, then I guess any place is just as attractive as anywhere else. So you find some of the hidden benefits, and that might be something that tips the scales for some people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, this is going to be a weird offseason. And again, guys, like, we've got, like, what, probably a solid 4 months of offseason, 4 or 5 months of offseason to go. Like, this is going to end up being a bit of a drag. I mean, let's be real. Let's just, you know, winter is coming. It's kind of already here. Just kind of buckle in. This is going to be a while.
I'm just trying to think of how we're filling all these offseason months with content.
I think at this point, the offseason content for us is watching us jokingly and half-heartedly really trying to figure out this Twitch stream.
That's what I was just going to say. We got plenty of time to test this out, I guess.
I mean, at this point, the rate we go with Technical Issues FC, copyright, trademark. I mean, at this point, we'd be lucky to have it going by May, but, you know.
It'll happen. Maybe on accident, but it'll happen.
I don't know. We've been talking about doing it off and on for almost the full, I mean, what is it? I've been on this for going on what? Almost 2 years in May.
This would be the 65th episode. Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be almost 2 years in May when we get to that point. And it's like, we've been talking about doing a video part of the, you know, simulcasting on video for almost the whole time.
For quite a while.
And here we are tonight. First real episode of the 2021 season, if you want to look at it that way. And we already fell flat on our face. So the unused substitutes continue to show you why we are completely unused.
Hey, we're just, you know, we're on brand. We're keeping it real.
This is true.
All right. We do have some other stuff, and actually, like, some of the stuff I just found out about maybe in the last hour once I got home and started doing some research, because I just don't get to do it during the day as much anymore. This was just, oh, let me look at the, I think this was just announced. Yeah. Today at 1:45. This is kind of cool. It could be cooler. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. The Tampa Bay Rays and Rowdies are hitting the streets this offseason with the Rays and Rowdies on the road experience. The traveling caravan will include Rays and Rowdies merchandise, photo ops, and exclusive fan experiences. Fans can take photos of the Rays ALCS trophy, the Rowdies Eastern Conference Champions trophy, and the Petco Park chair that caught Mike Brousseau's game-winning home run against the New York Yankees in Game 5 of the American League Division Series. A pop-up trailer will have select championship apparel and novelties available for purchase. Ticket sales account execs will be on site to answer questions regarding season ticket holder deposits, etc., etc. The caravan will appear at various locations around the Tampa Bay area and beyond, kicking off tomorrow, December 3rd, with appearances by head coach Neil Collins and Rays World Series Game 4 hero Brett Phillips. So they're taking the trophies, they're going out, they're hitting the road around the area. Kind of smart. They're not coming anywhere near me, which not as smart, in my opinion, but whatever. The current schedule of events, it starts with tomorrow, December 3rd, from 5 to 9 p.m. at Spa Beach Park at the St. Pete Pier. Saturday, this Saturday from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Tierra Verde Tree Lighting. Sunday, December 6th from 9 to noon at Zoo Tampa, or for those of us of a certain age, Lowry Park Zoo. Friday, December 11th from 5 to 9 p.m. at Snowcat Ridge in Dade City. Do you have any idea what that is?
No idea.
Is it like one of those like big cat habitat kind of places, or is it going to end up on a Netflix series? It's this new Alpine snow park, Florida's first snow park. I've seen pictures of this.
Oh, gosh. Oh, I remember. Now I know what it is. Yeah.
Features a 60-foot-tall, 400-foot-long, real snow-covered tubing hill, Arctic igloo, and alpine village. Now, if I could go tubing with the trophy, I'm in. I'm in. That would be fun. Lot of fun.
I love how your little brain works.
I don't think they'd let me do it. So it's one of those things where I'm going to have to ask for forgiveness instead of permission. Might have to make that happen. If you can't make it to that one, then Saturday, December 12th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Florida Aquarium. Sunday, December 13th from 5 to 10 p.m. at the Holiday Tree and Light Festival at the Grove in Wesley Chapel. And concluding, Thursday, December 31st from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at noon Year's Eve at Armature Works. Which, looking at the dates and times and everything, that's probably the only one I could get to, and I'm still not sure if I'm going to drive all the way to Armature Works for that for a New Year's event, which I'm not so sure about that. Would like to go. Depends if I can get my home reclassified as an assisted living center and start getting some vaccines pumped in me, then I'll be there. That would be fun. Rays and Rowdies on the Road experience includes COVID-19 safety protocols in accordance with CDC guidelines. Face masks are mandatory in order to enter the caravan zone, regardless of the rules at a particular venue. In addition to face mask requirement, the experience zone includes access to hand sanitizer, social distancing signage and reminders, and frequent disinfecting of all experiences that include fan interaction. That's actually more than the school I work at is currently doing, but I won't talk about that. For more info on the event, visit raysbaseball.com/eventstour and rowdysoccer.com/eventstour. Additional stops on the tour will be posted as they are confirmed. Let's bring this to Bradenton, Sarasota. How about that? Let's do that. I can find some people. There's not a ton of events going on because everyone's canceling them, but I can find some places to make this happen.
I mean, I can think of at least one.
They could set this up in my backyard for all I care. I've got some new fencing. It's quality. We can maintain some social distancing and some protocols. Let's make it happen. Raising Rowdies, let's do this. But that's kind of cool. Then, you know, I remember when they did, when after they won the Soccer Bowl in 2012, you could go, there was like an event at Al Lang you could go to, but to like get out and go around the community and do this. And bringing the season ticket holders, that's a great, or the season ticket reps, that's a good idea.
Of course it is. Of course, in all fairness, if you haven't already secured your 2021 season tickets, then what are you doing in life? But, you know.
I just rolled mine over, so I'm good. I'm set to go.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I did too.
So
I mean, I'm not going to shame anybody if you couldn't do that. I understand. I'm just making a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. I love you all.
Steven hates you.
I mean, I am a pessimist, but I love you all. You all know this.
All right. So that's that. Hopefully I'm sure there'll be some more stops along the way. Hopefully they will come down my way. I'm just selfish like that. So you talked about some player information at the beginning of the show. Some of those same players are part of this next thing, which I also I think I noticed this as I was leaving work today. This, I think, is also very cool.
Yeah, and it follows a trend that we're seeing with a lot of players, because typically when you look at coaching trees right now, especially in the world of soccer, a lot of them are just former pros that are immediately going straight into coaching. There's not even a real break in time there. It's just immediate bam, bam, here we go. So continuing that trend, the USL officially announced that there are 31 players across the league who are set to participate in an exclusive coaching course set up for USL players that are going to be going after their C license. And of those 30 players, quite a significant proportion of those are Tampa Bay Rowdies players. There are 6 names officially that are going after their C coaching license. We're looking at Gunzotti, Lasso, Ekra, Hilton, Fernandez, and Steinberger. So, first of all, that's awesome. Congratulations to those guys for getting that taking advantage of that opportunity and wanting to go after it. Obviously, it's always cool seeing that because, of course, you look at players like Stuart Campbell, you look at players like Neil Collins going straight from the pitch to a coaching role. You know, obviously with Stuart, there was an assistant coach before becoming full coach, but still, like, having the flexibility of that in your system is always an interesting thing to have. It's not always the right decision, but it's interesting to have that tool in your toolbox. The other thing, of course, to keep in mind is that with the philosophy that Neil is trying to build with a complete club structure where we bring in youth players and try and get the minutes with the first team during the seasons and things like that, having more players on the field that are knowledgeable in coaching can help educate those young men into learning how to develop themselves into professional players. So having that kind of flexibility where it's not just the three or four guys, you know, that are the main head coaches and whatnot, having the ability of them to be able to get input from other locations is awesome. And that's a great thing. It flows right into what Neil is trying to do with this club.
Yeah. And that's, you know, something else that I think could also be attractive to certain like free agents or certain players, knowing that they may be calling time on their career at some point in the near future. The opportunity to be part of this program, going into the coaching ranks, because, like, first off, there's tons of opportunities just locally around here for up and coming youth coaches, let alone other markets, other areas around the country, possibly being involved in, you know, the Tampa Bay United side as well. Maybe this is something that feeds into that, and then eventually maybe spots on the senior, or you know, now they're going to bring back the reserve club as well and play that. Like, it's a kind of an interesting thing, and I kind of wonder if this is one of the something that's been negotiated or something was suggested, worked out between the union and the front office as a way to kind of keep these guys involved. But more and more you see, you know, and you mentioned this, like, former players going into coaching. You've got Landon Donovan out in San Diego. You've got Neil Collins here. You've got several other former players getting involved in the coaching side. Like, it's kind of a player. You talk about this maybe being a little bit of a player friendly league. But I think it's a good situation because this league not only is here to give players some extra practice, some extra development, but it's also a good place to develop coaching talent as well too, and maybe start to feed a pipeline from USL into other areas. Of course, you know, we don't ever want to see Neil leave, but at some point, you know, it may make sense for his career to go elsewhere. And but please don't ever, like, just sacrifice all your career ambitions and goals in order to stay here and help us win things.
No. See, he can absolutely leave. It's totally fine. He just has to win, like, six trophies first. That's all. I mean, that's the only threshold. At that point, he can do whatever he wants, and we will encourage him. But,
I mean, that's,
you know,
that's just two seasons the way he's been going lately, so.
I mean, true, but still, that's the only requirement. He needs to win several trophies, and then he can do whatever he wants. You know, I'm totally cool with him walking away to a better opportunity. Just get us some hardware first. That's all. It's a simple ask, right? Like, that's not too much to ask for, right? I mean, that's reasonable.
You know, I'm just sitting here thinking, like, the stuff we're talking about now about, you know, defending Eastern Conference champions, returning nine players, you know, including the defensive player of the year, the best back line in the league. And I think about some of the shows that Dan and I did and some of the stretches we went through. It's like, man, you could not be further away from where we were than where we are right now. It's a fun time, man. It's just these, and you have to enjoy these times because they don't ever last, and you sometimes don't know when they're suddenly going to change. But let's not let that happen anytime soon. I just keep thinking about how I remember exactly when Neil was named the head coach, and I was like, man, I don't know about taking our best player off the field. I don't know about, you know, what's his experience. How's he going to be coaching the guys he was just on the field of the week before? And, you know, whenever you say things like this, it's always like, oh, gosh, I hope they prove me wrong. Like, I'm ecstatic that I was, I don't know if I was proven wrong, but, I mean, I had doubts and concerns, and they have certainly been allayed at this point. So, if there's other players who are able to kind of follow along in that situation, it's going to be good for everybody.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, you know, touching on the Rays ownership thing, I mean, obviously there are certain things that we don't like. I mean, obviously, like any ownership group that we have, and if you look at Rowdy's history, you know that there's going to be ownership decisions or, you know, ownership situations or management situations that you're not going to agree with. We certainly have our opinions on different things, even with the Rays themselves. And of course, Lee Cohen is still like, you know, basically the head man on top. I mean, he's still the day-to-day guy. But, and we love him. Don't get me wrong. Like, we love him. You're never going to love everything 100%. But when you see where the club is right now, and you see the fact that we were able to jump 9 players, how we're trying to continue to stay active at least a little bit in the community with face-to-face appearances and things like that, that, it, again, just like you said, you compared this to where we were in 2011 or in 2015, for example. Like, this is so wildly different and much more comforting than those, than years past. And you can't help but smile and kind of look back and go, you know, it could be so much worse than where we are right now. And to the point where, you know, you don't even have a team anymore. You know, if like, if you're St. Louis, you're, you know, you're pounding air right now. Like, you're throwing fists in the air. You just.
Did you see, by the way, like yesterday or 2 days ago, Reno tweeted out like, you know, a holiday clearance sale, merchandise sale. And it was like, oh, you're still around online. Oh, well.
I mean, that was just like when we, do you remember the Fort Lauderdale Strikers website for merchandise that like randomly popped up like 3 years after the club died? Like, I mean, we've seen that before, like just randomly like, hey guys, buy some stuff. What? Who are you?
There's always someone with a stack of t-shirts in their garage that needs to get rid of them.
I'm just saying, I want to know where all that USL champion 2020 championship gear went to, or where is it, or what will be done with it? Because I want to know for personal reasons, for science. I just want to know where all that stuff is.
For science.
For science. Educational purposes only. You know, for us educating the entire world that, you know, we should have been playing that game, and, you know, we were there. We earned our right to play in it. Just for educational purposes. It's fine. That's it. That's all I'm asking for.
I think I just found at least another Strikers merchandise site.
Good times. Well, speaking of merchandise.
Oh, good segue, Steven.
I'm really good at this. Anyways. So Ralph's Mob and Skyway Casuals officially have some stuff that you can take that supports some causes. So Matt, being south of the Bay, how about you introduce us to the situation going on south of the Bay here? What is Skyway Casuals up to?
All right, so the two main supporters groups for the Rowdies, the Ralph's Mob and Skyway Casuals, are just as busy, it would seem, off the field as the club is on, or at least putting players back on the field, with some merchandise available for charitable causes in the offseason. The Skyway Casuals announced, I believe it was yesterday, Ian texted me about it, and I saw it when they posted it online. They've got a group, the colloquially, nah, I'm done working for the day. I don't get paid to say words like that anymore. The Skyway Casuals Gaming Crew, because they've got a little, sure, they can set Twitch up. Jesus. They are selling what they call the Drop Zone Kit for pre-sale. All proceeds, the kit is $60. Proceeds go to Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital in downtown St. Pete as part of the Extra Life charity, which is I've been aware and I've participated in that in the past. It's gaming in different forms for raising money for charity. You can pre-order it online. It looks kind of neat. It's like green and black and gold. I mean, green, black and yellow kind of swirl. Like if you took a lava lamp and broke it, and then poured it onto a shirt. Set up. It's got like the 8-bit version of their crest on it, along with a fictional sponsor. And one of those story behind that. And it looks like there's some kind of print on the inside back collar. I can't read it all that well in my advanced age in the picture, but it looks kind of neat. Jerseys are being produced by Icarus, one of our sponsors, so we appreciate them doing some stuff like that. Available for $60. You can send it along with your size via PayPal to skywaycasuals@gmail.com. If you want to see a picture or if you need that info, you can go check their Twitter feed at Skyway Casuals. It posted it yesterday. They give you there's like an adult and youth size guide as well, so you can send your information along and get one of those pre-ordered for yourself. They're not the only ones selling some stuff. Let's throw it back over the Skyway, Steven. What's the mob up to?
So Ralph's Mob, and in this case, I know that Mike Pendleton was essentially the artist behind this, are currently running a fundraiser for Lucky M. Kasana's his charity, essentially, the one that he runs for BYS Academy, which is an academy to try and get some kids involved in soccer and get them some real training and such for that in his native Zimbabwe. And so if you didn't see, Mike had done a banner for the stadium for the last couple games of the season there of Lucky and his fist in the air. It was a I don't know the art terminology for this, so I apologize in advance, but it's a black and white image. Beautiful piece of artwork, absolutely mm-hmm. beautiful piece. And Lucky loved it. He has signed these copies. There is a limited print number, and all of the profits go to Lucky's Academy for his charity, or I guess charity is the word to use, but for the kids in Zimbabwe that he runs this for. So those are on sale right now. You can, if you go to the link on the Facebook and or Twitter, it'll take you over to the Square site that the mob uses. Those prints are $50 a piece. I know right now, I think the website says that it's a pre-order item. That's not really true anymore. I do believe the real physical items are in hand right now, so they can ship them
Mike's,
out.
Mike's got them. Lucky has signed them all. Yep. They are physically here. Mike's got one framed. You can go to his Twitter feed, check it out. It looks fantastic. I still need to get mine. I haven't done that yet. I need to. They look
Serigraph.
Amazing.
Serigraph, I believe, is the word I'm looking for. But anyways, it's a 16 by 20 poster, essentially, for what that's going to be. It is beautiful. So, yes, that right now is the Ralph's Mob item. I love these groups.
The problem is I'm looking around here. I got to figure out what I have to take down to put it up, because I literally don't have any other room. I've replaced one thing in the setup here, and I was waiting to see if you noticed it. Can you spot the difference?
No, I can't spot the difference. What's up? That's one of the game balls.
Yeah, I bought one of the they were marked. Normally they sells them for like 160, but then they added the discount and down to 50 for an authentic, not a replica, an authentic USL ball. So And I shipped it, got it here in like 2 days. It was pretty nice. So I've put that up for now, but I'm just trying to think where I could fit another picture. decisions. Oh, well. I'll have to get it anyway. We'll figure it out. Get it framed and get it up and going. So that's all the news. Is there anything else we need to throw in there, Steven?
I think for this episode, that puts a nice pretty bow on things, unless you can think of something like that.
One more. I meant to throw it in the notes. I forgot about it. Not a current member of the Rowdies, but one who will live in Rowdies infamy forever, Diego Restrepo, is hanging up the gloves. USL retweeted and announced his retirement. He was the 2017 USL Goalkeeper of the Year. We all know him as the shot stopper in the Open Cup win over Seattle. Which brings me to this just popped in my head because I had someone tweet this at me the other day. Now, you were there for the game, right?
Yeah.
I was there, too, and I will confess to not remembering lots of details about the game, including who the starting keeper for the Sounders was, but apparently it was Marcus Hahnemann.
Yes, it was.
Because you can go online on eBay and get the jersey he wore in the game for like $20. He threw it. There's a picture of it was a Sounders fan who traveled for the game. After the game, I guess you convinced Hahnemann to give him his jersey. He's got a picture of him standing in the Outlink parking lot holding the jersey up, and it's out there on eBay for like $20. Not as like a buy it now, but it's kind of...
How is that a thing?
I was like, that is a very niche thing. Like, get the jersey that he lost the game to the Rowdies to, and I was thinking... Do I want to go for this? Do I want to? Probably not, but it would be kind of fun. I mean, if you think about it, the biggest game that's been at Al Lang since the championship was never played this year.
I would say selfishly, yes, because I always put the Open Cup above everything else. I think that game was, yeah.
I mean, a competitive win over an MLS team, one that was taking it seriously because they put Obafemi freaking Martins out there on the field.
Yep, not a schlump club in general. Like, not only was it an MLS team that took it seriously, but it was also a very good MLS team that was taking it seriously. Like, yeah. That was a hell of a win.
A game with a Georgie goal. I gotta go double check and see. I set a reminder to send me and like check with me in a day or two, see if I want to bid on this thing, because it's one of those that they're only taking bids, and the guy's like, he's had it for a couple years, still lives in. Actually, I think he lives in Alaska now, is where he has the jersey, but hard times because of I'm gesturing at everything. If you can't see me, it's only Stephen can. So is selling it to raise some money. So I thought I might peek at it, but I highly doubt. It would be a cool thing to have. Like, that's the ultimate like one thing you could like say to Nancy. Yeah, I've got something you don't have, and can't, and never will, because this is the only one. No idea what I would do with it though.
Well, let's see here. So. Tonight, of course, December 2nd. Do we want to do a show in 2 weeks on the 16th, barring news, developments, things like that, tentatively right now? Do we want to do the 16th?
Let's go ahead and say yeah.
Okay.
Pending news.
We can always move it if needed.
Because like the next week, the week after the 23rd, like, it's 2 days before Christmas, I'm also going to be unavailable because we're taking my daughter on a very distant trip.
Birthday on the 23rd also. I'll be turning 31 that day.
My daughter is turning the inverse. She'll be 13 on the 17th. So we have a cabin in the Georgia mountains, nice and distanced away from everyone else that we're taking her to for a couple days, because that's what she wants to do. So I think we'll be getting back that day. So
okay,
probably not going to feel like doing a show that evening, I'm going to guess. And then
so let's tentatively so audience, for those listening, 16th we'll try and do a show, because if not, it won't be until like the 30th probably, if for the next available week.
If that, yeah, the possibility that could be, yeah, the last one for the year.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens, but let's just kind of pencil it in right now, and then we'll just play it by ear. Of course, we'll keep you guys up to date on all of our social media pages. Twitter's easily the number one way that we get information out, so just keep an eye out on things. We'll let you know as it comes along. Matt, do you want to We Love You for the week?
I do.
Do we want to We Love You for the show? So who would be your We Love You for the show?
Going to throw it out there to, hold on, let me make sure I get the name right. I just noticed this in my email the other day. We have a new patron.
Oh, well, there you go.
So I feel like I got to give him a shout out, no matter what level it is. Let me go find this here again. I think I have.
There's
yeah.
only one.
Found it. Shout out to Bryce Larson. Joined our Patreon community with a USF email address. So go Bulls. Happy for that as well too. Always like
Absolutely.
getting more Bulls on the on our side. So yeah, that's my shout out right there. What about you?
I will mimic that because I don't have anything come to mind as far as ideas for this segment. I had nothing.
Holy crap. Like 2 minutes before we went on, I got an email from eBay about the Marcus Hahnemann jersey. Hang on a second here. Let me pull this up. I'll show it to you. Current bid is at $20.50. And it's right there in the description. Authentic Marcus Hahnemann Sounders jersey from May 29th, 2013 versus Tampa Bay Rowdies. Ends on December 2nd. And just, oh, it ends in 35 minutes. Should I bid on this?
Oh, don't.
It's that orange Sounders anyway. Jersey, too. But yeah, it's got a picture of him. You can see Corrigan's in the background. He's got his ticket stub from the evening.
Well, thank you to Wolfface for providing our incredible intro music. We have always loved every second of listening to that. Radio St. Pete for getting us a platform, for doing, of course, the live shows. Eventually, maybe Twitch as well, so we'll stay tuned for that. And, of course, Shamrock Pub, our secret location bunker, COVID bunker, for being an amazing host when we get the chance to do live shows there. We have always appreciated your support.
I don't know, man. It's only $20, Steve. I'm really for by way of comparison, there are replica 2019 MLS Championship rings for $50.
If you like our episode, please share, subscribe, rate, and review. We appreciate everybody that does that. It gets the name out there. It helps make us be more visible on the various streaming platforms, because we are on basically all of them. So that does help. We do appreciate it. If you want to take that support a little further, of course, Patreon is the best way to do that. You can start from as little as $1 a month, $12 a year. It honestly goes a long way. It helps make sure that the cost of running the websites and getting equipment isn't entirely shouldered on us. So we do appreciate all the support that you can give us. Those levels do extend upwards of $10 a month if you so choose and you are interested.
You know, even at $3.92 shipping, it still comes into like less than $25. But the thing is, like, the guy's selling it to try and make like extra, like he needs some extra cash. And if I got this for $25, like, that's not a lot.
Well, you know, what else is about extra cash and little guys is supporting small business. And we want to say thank you to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, who's the official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. You can get your custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com, who also have great shipping options as well. And if you're tired of the same old uniforms and cookie cutter templates, you know, if you want to move on from things like the old 2013 goalkeeper jerseys from some small club that we beat here in St. Pete, and, you know, still all those Nike and Adidas crap, and you're looking for something unique, completely custom for your kid, for your youth club, Sunday league squad, adult, or even maybe a pro team, Icarus FC can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price. Let them help you design your new custom kit today at IcarusFC.com.
It's not even really my size, I'm sure.
I don't know, man. I'm sure. Was a big boy.
I was just gonna say he was, but I don't think I've decided I will pass. Maybe someone else will swoop in at the last minute and get that for like $50. It would be kind of a neat thing to have, though.
Well, we appreciate everybody listening tonight. Thank you. Go Rowdies. We love you. Matt, cue the music.
I mean, I'm still really just kind of debating this whole purchase here. I don't know if I should.
The Rowdies run here, the Rowdies run there, they kick the ball around. The Rowdies run here, the Rowdies run there, and then they fall on the ground. Oh, the Rowdies, the Rowdies, the Rowdies are kicking the grass. The Rowdies run here, the Rowdies run there, they kick the ball around. The Rowdies run here, the Rowdies run there, and then they fall on the ground. Oh, the Rowdies, the Rowdies, the Rowdies are kicking the grass. When the Rowdies play soccer, it's a sight to behold. You'll swear they'll be devils with magical toes. You'll laugh, you'll cheer, you'll leap from your seat when they kick with their head instead of their feet. The Rowdies run here, the Rowdies run there, they kick the ball around. The Rowdies run here, the Rowdies run there, and then they fall on the ground. Oh, the Rowdies, the Rowdies, the Rowdies are kicking the grass. When the Tampa Bay Rowdies take the field, there's a roar. The fans, loyal fannies, cheer the team they adore. There's music, there's laughter, pretty girls all around. It's exciting to live in a pro soccer town.